Seeing that it's 6 o'clock, we'll call the meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Jeff Gentz.
Here.
Ron Frederick.
Here.
Ed Kubicki. Monica Juhas.
Here.
Jeff Wambolt.
Here.
John Franco.
Here.
Sharon Palmaville.
Here.
John Cargill.
Here.
Carly Lois.
Let the record show that Supervisor Kubicki and Carly Lloyd are excused. And we will move on to citizens' comments. Any citizens wishing to speak?
My name is Kevin Matheson. I'm here actually as a journalist, but I'm also a taxpayer and a resident of Kenosha County, so I'd like to be heard as well. Tonight you have a very important item on your agenda, and that is to declare the death of Corporal Bacina an in-the-line-of-duty death. I think it's a no-brainer, unless you want to get political about it. But not only do I want you to support this resolution, but I want you to not meet in secret. And I know this committee usually has a policy of meeting in secret when you're talking about tough things because you don't want the press. I know there's two different press outlets here. So I ask you to have the courage to talk about this in public. It is not pending litigation. You probably got some kind of advice from Joey that you don't have the authority to do this, but you do. I promise you that. So do the right thing. Not for politics, it's for a widow and her two children here that want these benefits so they don't get financially bankrupt. Just ignore politics and just do the right thing tonight. It's real easy. All you gotta do is vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other citizens' comments? Any other citizens' comments? Any other citizens' comments? Seeing none, citizens' comments are closed. Reports from the chair. We're gonna have a special meeting on April 6th at 6 o'clock for our closeout carryover resolution that we do every year. So
it'll be 6?
6 o'clock, yes.
Before the regular meeting, right?
Yes, before the county board meeting. That's all I have. Our reports from the committee. Is there any reports? Seeing none, moving on. Approval of the minutes, February 10th, 2022.
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved by Supervisor Frederick, seconded by Supervisor Juhas to approve the minutes of February 10th. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Those minutes pass unanimously. Number 7, Sheriff's Department resolution approving the 2022 Wisconsin Department of Justice Law Enforcement Drug Trafficking Response Equipment Grant.
Shorten the names.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Tony Gonzalez. I'm the Captain of Operations for the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department. This resolution requests to approve a grant offer for $10,000 offered by the State of Wisconsin Department of Justice, passed through the Racine County Sheriff's Department. This grant offer is a $48,750 grant and is shared amongst the 5 participating counties in the Southeast Area Drug Operations Group, also known as CDOG. It's managed currently by the Racine County Sheriff's Department, and the sheriff proposes spending our share of $10,000 to make a monthly lease payment for new surveillance vehicles.
Okay, any questions from the committee?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Been moved by Supervisor Wambolt, second by Supervisor Palmaville. Welcome to the Finance Committee, Supervisor Palmaville. On the motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously, thank you.
Thank you.
Public Works, resolution to approve an intergovernmental agreement between Kenosha County and the Village of Twin Lakes for a project to resurface and enhance a section of County Trunk Highway EM.
Good evening, folks.
Hopefully a resolution gave you a pretty good background. I'll try to hit the high points and try to keep it brief. Waiting for something. So basically what happened was last year we were scheduled to repave County Trunk Highway EM from County Trunk Highway Z to the state line. For those of you that aren't real familiar with the road, it basically runs along the east side. It's called East Lakeshore Drive out in the village, but it is a county road. And we were going to repave it. And when we started to do some of the preparatory work, which involved replacing some culverts and brushing and so forth, some of the village board members saw what we were doing, asked what was going on, and we got to talking. And they informed us of how heavily used that road is. It's a 2.6-mile stretch, heavily developed, lots of driveways, a lot of folks living there. And folks, it's only 25 miles an hour for the entire stretch, but folks walk in the traffic lanes and ride their bikes, obviously, in the traffic lanes, but walk, more importantly, in the traffic lanes, walking their dog. It's kind of like used as a neighborhood road. It's not a safe situation. So we looked into what the options would be to work with the village to try to do something more to that road than just resurfacing it. A really challenged stretch of road. Lots of hills, lots of blind curves, lots of driveways. Bottom line is we looked at a number of different options. We came up with something that's going to allow us to not create a multi-use path because there just isn't enough right-of-way to work with to do that. But we are going to be able to enhance the shoulder in a way that'll create a safe space for folks to walk and ride their bikes. And the bottom line is it's going to greatly improve the situation out there from a safety standpoint and community kind of function standpoint. So we worked with the village to put together the IGA. The IGA went to the Twin Lakes Village Board last Monday night. They passed it unanimously. There was a number of citizens that showed up that had questions about the project as well as just to speak in favor of it. We basically have outlined the parameters of what we would do, what the village would do. From a financial standpoint, it's a $2.8 million project, of which it's eligible for $985,000. Of local road improvement funding. The village has agreed to participate to add $250,000, and we would be covering about $1.4 million, which is just slightly more than what we would have done to resurface it and just do the resurfacing. So it's a real good opportunity to add a lot of value to the community, really, and just kind of leverage the resources that the village has and we have to get something done that's going to benefit, do more than just maintain the status quo. That's basically what the IGA was, what it addresses. We put it together as a way to, the village wanted to make sure it was done prior to the new board. They've got a new board that's going to be coming in as well in April, so we wanted to make sure that things were memorialized in the form of a formal agreement between us and the village so that the project gets done. That's what the IGA is set up to do.
Question or comments from the committee?
What's our cost?
Our cost is about $1.4 million.
$1.4 million. So are we going to do this anyway?
Right, we were going to resurface it anyways, and that would have cost, I think we had budgeted about $1.3 million and change to just do a straight up resurfacing status quo.
Okay, I thought you said that. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I was going to ask that same thing. John?
So I may have misheard a couple of the numbers, but I heard 2.8 million total, 1.4 from us, and then I heard 589,000 from a local initiative.
985.
That's where that money comes from.
985 is the local road improvement program. Yep.
What does that entail?
The program, or that's one of the state DOT administered programs that allows us, that supplements, as long as the project meets certain requirements, we can apply for funding. It's fairly limited. It's usually only just over 300 grand a year. This year they've made funding available. There's actually, I guess, three pots. There's one for 313,000, one for 375, and this 985. And there's certain parameters attached to each of them. This project is eligible for the 985. So that's why we applied it towards it.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Yeah, I was going to say, since the amount is so close, I think that's a good idea. Whatever happened to our discussion of having a financial statement with everything that went on?
A fiscal note?
Yeah, a fiscal note.
I would say that is a fiscal note.
I would say so too when it says project funding, but
correct.
Did we ever do anything with that?
I don't believe so.
Well, I think we should have that on the next agenda.
Okay.
I would like to see fiscal notes for everything monetary that comes through this committee. Okay? All right. Is there a motion?
I shall move.
Second.
It's been moved by Supervisor Frederick, seconded by Supervisor Palmaville to approve. Any further questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Thank you. Public Works, resolution to grant E-Energy's permanent easement request within the village of Salem Lakes.
Yeah, so basically what this is it's one of the properties, it's actually two parcels that we took on tax deed a number of years back. About 25 to 30% of the parcel is in the floodplain, so we don't anticipate anything ever being built on it. We're actually attempting to sell it's two parcels. We're attempting to sell them to the adjacent neighbors just so they can have additional lawn, they can enlarge their parcel. But there's really nothing that can be done with these things in terms of a development kind of a way. We Energies needs to upgrade services to some utility services to some of the other houses in that neighborhood, and they need to run some of the new utilities through these properties in order to do that. So this is an easement granting them the authority to go ahead and build the utilities through this property so they can provide the extra services to the neighborhood that are required. That's pretty much it.
Any questions or comments from the committee?
Move to approve.
It's been moved by Supervisor
Gutaus. Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Franco. Any further questions or comments on this item? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
Human Resources, resolution setting salaries for sheriff and clerk of courts.
Good evening, Chairman, Supervisors, Youth and Governance. So this evening, we have a resolution to set the salaries for sheriff and clerk of courts as they're up for election, and these need to be set prior to the voting of papers. So what we're putting forward, let me provide you a little handout to offer you some perspective. There's more going on. All right, so again, this is for sheriff and clerk of courts. I've provided you with the county clerk, register of deeds, and treasurer up at the top. Those were set in previous budgets. County executive, county board chairperson, those numbers in blue were the ones that were set with the passage of the 2022 budget. And then for comparison purposes, I've got the sheriff and clerk courts there. I'm sorry,
did you? Oh, it's on the bottom. Yeah, really quick.
Hold on. Is it on the bottom of your other sheet?
You're holding it underneath the other one?
No. What are you talking about?
Salary sheet I had.
No, these are.
No, I don't need that. I need the one I printed up myself. Disappeared or something.
Did it go under a resolution that you sent?
Yeah, but it was all my figures. Go ahead.
Okay, continue. Sorry about that.
Okay. So the numbers you're seeing for sheriff and clerk of courts are the ones that are being proposed in the resolution. So for clerk of courts salary, it matches the pattern of increase as what the board passed for county executive, the 5%, 1%, 2%, and then 2%. And for sheriff, we're proposing 2.5% each year. For comparison, Mary, if you could pull up that document, thank you. Tried to provide a few of our similarly sized counties to show you clerk of courts and sheriff salaries for comparison. I thought you might be interested in that. The numbers that are in gray for Walworth are what were proposed. I couldn't find their minutes on their website to see if they were approved, but that's what was up at their board meeting this week. Just for comparison purposes, providing you with that, as you can see, the clerk of courts salary for Kenosha is comparably higher, and what we're proposing for the sheriff is to get us a little more in line. So that's what the county executive asked me to bring forward to you.
Anything else? Question or comments from the committee?
Yeah, I got a few comments.
Supervisor Frederick, you have the floor.
You and I talked on the phone, and first thing I want to know is the clerk of courts salary is presently $94,451. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And the sheriff's salary is $1,114,408. Is that right?
$114,742.
Okay, so. Your presentation here, I mean, we've done this for years and years, and usually we give a flat increase because, you know, we're all elected and we have to set it before the term starts or before they can take out papers. So your presentation here gives the clerk of courts, okay, the numbers I have here, zero the first year, right?
Mm-hmm.
The second year, you give her 1%.
That's what the resolution states, yes.
Or whoever gets elected if she wins. Third year, you give 2%. The fourth year, you gave 2%. Is that right? That total is $4,798. So the clerk of courts gets $4,798 for 4 years, which averages out to $1,000 a year if you want to look at it, okay? Now I did the sheriff's department. Sheriff's budget, sheriff made $114,148 the first year. You jumped that for $3,200 to $117,611. Second year, $120,551. Third year, $123,565. $2,026. $126,654. His salary for that term will be $12,246 increase. What's wrong with that picture? You see nothing wrong with freezing the county, the clerk of courts salary? Giving her 1%, 2%, 2%, and the average that you gave the sheriff, when I could come and figure it out, and I did it in my calculator, but I think I'm pretty clear. $12,246. You see that? You think that's fine?
Again, the pattern.
I mean, you're talking about comparables.
Mm-hmm.
Comparables are Kenosha County population, what we've always done in the past. We've got to set it before they take out papers. I could never support this. This is not right. I'm waiting for your remarks, and I'm not done yet.
Well, I don't think that's.
Do you have any more to say? I mean, you did this comparable thing. I don't get it. I mean, you could take a sheriff, the Walworth County Sheriff's Department, the Racine County Sheriff's Department. Is that what you did?
It's up on
so
the screen.
You punished the clerk because the clerk's office in Racine pays less than we do. Is that why?
Supervisor Frederick, I'm not trying to punish anyone.
Well, I'm not saying, but you are when you do this, because you're saying they're not worth any more than what you're giving them. One $12,246 and the other one $4,798. Three times. I did some numbers also on what the percentage would be, and I took a 2%. I didn't make copies for anybody, but I took a 2% for both of them. And the cost of this one that you presented is $17,044. And if we give them all 2%, the sheriff will then get $9,361 rather than $12,246. These are estimates, but they're pretty close. Okay, and the clerk will get $7,906. So I'm going to listen to everybody else, and then I'm going to make a motion.
Okay. Any other committee members on this? Supervisor Franco.
Yes, Ms. Tappa, and thank you for getting back to me. I appreciate it. I was able to get the information at the end of the day. To look at the numbers, as Supervisor Frederick has pointed out, the increase, average increase for the 4 years for the clerk of courts is 1.25%, where the average increase for the sheriff is 7.5%. So yeah, I mean, it's a distinct difference. I take your point that you're comparing, we have to compare apples to apples. I understand that, comparing what the clerk of court makes here versus other clerks of court. So, I mean, it is in the ballpark, I would agree. However, it does seem a bit low to me. I have to say that. If you factor that all in, I think that, and I'm not even speaking to the sheriff situation. I mean, I'm just talking about the clerk of courts, because especially in spite of the situation with the inflation rate that's going on, I don't know, it just seems like with a 7.5% inflation over the past year, to give a 1.25 increase per year for the next 4 years just seems a bit low to me. I'd like to hear what other people think.
Is that all, Supervisor?
Yeah, I'm done.
Any other questions or comments from the committee, Supervisor Palmer?
So just one. So we're trying to get to a more comparable place with our similar counterparts. Is this correct?
I'm just offering that as a point of comparison, point of benchmarking. Because there aren't any other register of deeds in Kenosha County to compare them to. It's a good comparator if you need a comparator.
And is that generally like how you will make these?
That's a good question. That was one I was going to follow up with. Mm-hmm. So when you do a compensation study, how do you do that? What goes into that? That's what we're going to do for everybody else this year. So what happens in a compensation study?
In general, or are you talking about these positions?
Not these positions, because they're elected. They're not in it.
Right.
But I'm saying, in
so
a compensation study, what's done?
We look at comparables. Okay. Comparable counties, comparable positions.
Does that answer your question?
It does answer my question, because even with the pay percentages at that point, our sheriff is still under what our other, you know, his counterparts are, and the clerk of courts is still just slightly over, even with those reduced. So I guess I'm wondering, what's the goal? Like, what are we aiming to be, similar to another county, or just to do some sort of increase? I don't know if finance wants to chime in on any of that.
She's asking for your comment.
Right. I really don't have comment on this. I understand the logic that has been applied here.
Me too.
Similar to what Chairman Gentz said, with how do we do a classification and compensation study, we look at comparables, as Ms. Tappa said. This be in that range.
Certainly the county board sets these salaries.
Sets the salaries.
Do you feel that something is different?
Are you done?
Yes.
Supervisor Franco?
Yeah, I just want to add one other thing. Relative to the, what is it, the 2 years before, decided prior to 2022, you had a 2.75% increase for 2 years in a row. So, I guess I'm trying to get at the continuity. Why the 5.6% increase in 2 years, but a 1.25% increase per year over 4 years? I don't work for HR. I don't make those decisions. I think for the sake of the committee, just trying to figure out what the logic is behind it or the reasoning, like you were pointing out. Is there, I mean, how do you go about making the decision? Is it about the increases, I guess?
So the county executive seeks input, but ultimately he puts this forward for the county board to consider.
Okay.
I may be somewhat off on this, but my recollection is that during the economic downturn, the elected positions did not get much of an increase. County board supervisors got nothing for many years. Yes. And the other elected positions got small percentages. When things started to come back, that next round, maybe two rounds, those percentage increases were somewhat higher. I don't have the history back further than that, but that, looking at the 2.75 that you mentioned, Supervisor Franco, that made sense to me that that would have been in that realm of when it was kind of, things were coming back, the economy was coming back, so the elected officials were given raises, and the county board received some pay increases during that period of time as well.
Okay.
Supervisor Randall.
Okay, let's see if I can wrap my head around this, but first of all, we're not comparing apples to apples. The clerk of courts is different than the sheriff. If I'm reading that chart right up on the wall, the clerk of courts right now is paid more than the comps of the other counties, where the sheriff is not. So that might attribute to why the 2.75 that you were talking about, because if we're going based on comps, that would attribute to the difference, I think, right? But I'd also like to point out that I don't think, for sure the sheriff and probably the clerk of courts as well, I don't think they're in it for the money. We've got a lot of people running for sheriff in this upcoming race, probably more than ever before, and I doubt if they're in it for the money. So if someone would propose to reduce even, you know, from the 2.5 to 2, something along those lines, I'm sure that would be fine as well. But I just want to, you know, reiterate that the sheriff isn't, looking at that chart, is still not going to be caught up to the comps of the other surrounding counties where the clerk of courts is. And if I'm misspeaking, let me know.
No, it's getting in the range. So, Ozaki, if you can bring it down a little bit, Mary.
Okay, so I was seeing the, okay.
To my knowledge, but
right.
You know, it's more
okay,
in line with Racine, sure. But Rock is up there as well. So it's not the, you know, it's not lagging completely behind.
Thank you.
Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I wouldn't support getting any raise right now. We just heard from finance that, you know, the last economic downturn, there wasn't raises for these folks. County board didn't get raises. We're in an economic downturn now. Inflation's at an all-time high. Price of oil's up. I mean, people are having a hard time paying their bills. And now we want to tell our constituents that next year the levy's going to be up all, be at, you know, relatively low when spread throughout every property owner throughout the county. But this is going to raise the levy at a time when people are struggling to pay their bills now. And I don't think either one of these two positions is underpaid compared to most of those who live in Kenosha. If somebody thinks that a neighboring county, that sheriff pays more, well, that he or she can go run in that neighboring county. I don't think we need to compare ourselves, especially right now. I mean, people are having a hard time paying their bills. I don't think either of these two positions or any of the other countywide elected positions are so underpaid that they're having a hard time paying their bills. compared to majority of at least my residents, my constituents. That's all.
Supervisor Franco.
So is the comparable, is that the criteria used to determine, salary comparable in terms of what, for example, the clerk of courts in Kenosha gets compared to Racine and Walworth and other counties? Is that the sole criteria, I guess?
It's factored in.
Okay.
These are elected positions. They're set by the county board. They're put forward by the county executive. There are, I'm sure, a lot of factors that are considered in play in these numbers and climate.
I understand that. I was just trying to see if there was anything else other than that. I mean, I certainly agree that's a relevant criteria, an apples-to-apples criteria. Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Frederick.
What's the population of Walworth County? What's the population of Ozaukee County?
They're going to Google it, but those are...
What's the population of Racine County?
Bigger than us.
We're talking population. Ozaukee County is...
Bigger.
I know Walworth County is at, 100,000 maybe? What's Kenosha County, 167,000? I mean, how can you compare this? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Walworth's 102,000.
Okay, so we're 170. So how many employees does the clerk of courts have? How many employees does the sheriff have? Well, look, anybody can run for sheriff, register deeds, county clerk, whatever. You don't have to have the high school diploma if you're popular enough, I guess, but it doesn't happen because people pretty much know what they know what everybody's qualifications come. But I was a county treasurer for 6 years. I had a high school diploma. I had a lot of related training. I was involved in a lot of community things. And I won in 1986, and I served for 6 years. Okay, I was lucky enough not to have a primary, so I got elected in September because it was a three-way primary, and I sat down with the treasurer for 4 months and went into the office every day with her, and of course I knew, not that I didn't know, but you don't know what it is completely. Automated the office completely in 6 years, one computer and everything else. So, I mean, people can get elected. They're not going to know everything right away. Now, sometimes you get lucky. Mary Kubecki left. So happened that she had a deputy that was able to take over that knew pretty much the job, fit right in. So anyone can run for all these jobs, but you're not going to know everything about it right away. But they're elected. The reason they're elected, everybody knows why they're elected, because the state legislators want them on the ballot so people show up to vote, I guess, or something. I've heard that once. So we're sitting here talking about Kenosha County, what their salaries are right now. And for me, the fairest thing would do to give them a raise, because you can't, if you don't set it, nothing changes. It stays the same. They have it for 4 years. So I think 2% is probably across the board, probably low. But the cost of that 2%, from what I could figure, would be for both of them, every year 2% for all of them would be about exactly the same as your numbers. But the sheriff wouldn't get the $12,000 raise. He'd get $9,300, and the clerk would get $7,900. So for conference, I'm going to make a motion that we make it 2% a year for each position for 4 years. 2% for each year.
Is there a second to that motion? Hearing none, discussion returns to the first motion. John?
I just guess I'll give my 2 cents here. Supervisor Palmville, I think you made a good point in asking, like, what's the goal of this? Like, what criteria are we using and what's the point? Supervisor Frederick, with your idea of a flat increase, it seems like you're saying just relative to the past salaries that they've been given. But in my mind, I agree. Like, the clerk of courts and the sheriff are not the same job. And I think it's important to look at the type of criteria that the people themselves will use. And if you don't try and use the comparables as that criteria, there's not really an anchor on which to set the salaries. There is the objective floor of, you know, is this a livable salary? Is it a thing that will make people want to get the job purely on the things that they need to buy? But otherwise, you're not really anchoring against anything. We've talked about how it was 2.75 because of certain economic turns. Now it's trying to be set at zero because that's going to be comparable to other counties. That makes sense to me personally. And even on this sheet, we see that happened with the county executive as well. So it's not like the clerk of courts is being singled out with a no percent increase for the next year. So, you know, we've also talked a lot about retention here in this committee and with sheriff especially and with the sheriff's office. That's contentious with retention. So it makes sense to me to say, let's try and keep the sheriff here. Let's raise it to keep it in line with other counties, because we've talked about even just like our sheriffs going to Racine because they pay a lot better. Or perhaps not our sheriffs, but people in the sheriff's office, if I'm correct with that. Thank you. So to me, that makes perfect sense to try and keep that in line with other counties. Those are the jobs that those people will be looking at, the people who are qualified for that position. And yeah, I think comparables are the best anchor that we have to judge them by. So.
Any other questions, comments by the committee?
Supervisor. Yeah, thank you. If you factor in the 2 years prior to the four, it comes out to about 1.7% increase for the clerk of courts. If you factor in the 2 years that 2.75, 2.75, 0.122. So, I mean, it's pretty close. I don't know. I sympathize. I understand the argument here, but I don't know if we should upset the apple cart for, I mean, I think it's close enough if you factor in the two. Now, if the 2 years prior to that were like one and one, then of course it would even be lower, but they're not. So under the circumstances, though, I think it is a little low. I think it's in the ballpark. It's reasonable. I think one could make an argument for it. So anyway, I'm done.
Anything else, Supervisor Franco?
No, I'm done.
Supervisor Wamble, you have.
See, I know a couple of people have said, yeah, it's low, and we're thinking about the individual, but I do agree that, you know, we're going into some economic times that are kind of unusual for us for the last several years, where inflation is higher, okay, and cost of goods, and this is taxpayer money that we're giving to someone that can choose or not choose to run for office, right? They don't have to take that position. I mentioned the sheriff's department before, so I'm actually leaning a little bit the other way, where maybe we give the sheriff zero in 2023, just like the clerk of courts, redo the numbers a little bit, and that's a sign of good faith, but that's I mean, it's not gonna be the end all be all, but it's something to show the taxpayers, okay, we know where we're facing, and that's in 2023, which is, okay, we're going to still be in these times, but maybe 2024, 25, 26, maybe we get out of this mess. I don't know. Maybe it's worse. So I'm actually leaning the other way, because I know a little bit about at least the one side. It's like, I know they're not in it for the money. And we could, like I said, show some good faith and maybe just give them a little bit of a tax break, you know, to the people. It's not going to be a lot. It's going to be very small. But that's my 2 cents, so.
Any other questions or comments by the committee? I mean, I've always based my decisions in regard to these on comparables, because I have nothing else to use. And we have talked a lot about attracting and retaining positions. And I'm not comfortable with our sheriff, our corrections officers, our dispatchers going to other locations where they pay them more money. And I understand that those are not elected officials. I will make that distinction. But whether people are in it for the money or not, they should be compensated to the level that other people that are doing that job are compensated, I feel. So that's where I'm at with this. I mean, it's a healthy debate, and I mean, the executive is lowest other than the county board on all of this. So I don't have a problem with it. So, but we'll need a motion or more comment or more debate. John?
If I may clarify something, was your suggestion to mark in a 0% increase for 2023 and then keep the 2.5 for the consecutive 3 years?
That was, I didn't make the motion, but yes.
That was
just what occurred to me, you know, based on some of the comments, you know, I've heard out in the gallery. And it rings true with me, too. It's like, you know, we are running into economic times for taxpayers, not for those individuals who, that's decent money, you know. Yeah, they have a lot of responsibility, I get that, but it was just more of a sign of good faith than anything else.
Sure, I just wanted to understand what you're thinking with that.
Well, I'm not going to make a motion.
Well, I'm going to throw out an amendment to make the 2023 for the sheriff zero, see if I get a second on it or not. And we'll proceed afterwards and see if that's something anybody is willing to do. And then we'll keep the percentages the same as the years progress. So that's my motion.
Okay, you're going to make a motion. There's not an amendment. There's no motion on the floor.
Right.
So you're going to make a motion that in 2023, the sheriff will be at zero, mm-hmm. and then all things being equal the rest of the way out on
correct.
This chart. Is there a second to that motion? Seeing none. Supervisor Rodriguez.
I think what Supervisor Weinbolt was doing was better than what's being presented tonight. But again, what this is going to look like is so the everyday folks who are going to watch this, listen to this or read about this in the paper, is they're having a hard time paying their bills, like most people are, and we're taking care of, whether or not this is true, they're going to look at this as a county board taking care of their buddies, whether that's true or not, whether we consider these folks our buddies or not, that we're going to take care of these guys, and, you know, to heck with the taxpayers, you're struggling, these people are not struggling because they're making such a high wage, but we're going to make sure they're making even more. And whether this passes tonight, when it comes to the county board, I hope it never makes it to the county board. But if it does make it to the county board, I look forward to voting against it, because I'm not going to go and tell my constituents that, again, you're having a hard time putting gas in your car. These people aren't, and we're going to make it even easier for them to put gas in their multiple cars. Maybe. That's all.
Okay. Hey, there have been two motions on the floor. Are we going to get something else? Supervisor Ulas.
This has to be done in a 4-year increment.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You have to do it before they run for office.
Okay.
All right. If I'm seeing nothing, then Supervisor Wambolt, make your motion again.
Okay. The motion would be to change the percentage in 2023 for the sheriff to a 0% increase. All else remains the same.
I'll second that motion. Now we're up for a debate on that motion. Supervisor Frederick, you have the floor.
Are you suggesting on your motion that the 2023 raise for the sheriff, that 3203 would be gone, okay? So now you got to, the 117 is no longer in place.
The numbers have to be refigured.
He would be at 114,408, which he is now, right?
That's.
Yes, basically.
I'm not following your numbers, so.
The last increment. So you're doubling the first one, 114,742 becomes the first year. and each of those years increases the same for the next three, topping out at the 123,565.
Okay, so now, then the other 3 years that are left, you're suggesting that the sheriff's going to get that 2-point-some increase, and the
correct.
Other one's only going to get 1%?
And who?
Well, the way
we're not comparing
the
apples to apples.
Just I'll clarify that for you, okay? What it is he's making a motion to have 0% for the sheriff, and all the other terms, or all the other numbers are going to remain the same. So all the clerk and the sheriff in 2024 will be 2.5-1, 2.5-2, 2.5-2. So everything else will remain the same, other than a 0 for the sheriff next year.
So at the end, the sheriff's salary would be
123,565
less with the 0 in it, right?
It'll be 123,565.
So then the difference would be that the sheriff would get around 9,000, and the clerk would get 5,000. All right, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you say so, that doesn't concern me.
No, I'm just looking at my numbers
here. That's not what I'm concerned with.
The 2023 for sheriff was raised was 3203. Okay, so that's gone. So then the 2023, the sheriff would stay the same as the clerk. 94,451. The sheriff would be 114,408, and then everything else would be the same. And the percentages would be more for the sheriff than it would be for the clerk, or would it be 2%, 2%?
It's going to be exactly the same as presented. So it's going to be the 2.5-1, 2.5-2, 2.5-2. That's exactly, everything's going to remain the same, other than a 0 for the sheriff this next year.
So
just like a 0 for the clerk.
So that pulls it closer, yeah. Yeah, I can move that. At least it's not so, 4,007 to 12,000, now it's 4,788 to
9,000,
right?
Right. Supervisor Rodriguez.
Through the chair to whoever can answer this, how much is the county's insurance share going to go up? Because we know it's going to go up over the next 4 years, the premium, the portion of premium that the county pays. What is that dollar amount? Because that needs to be factored into total compensation.
We don't know that.
We have no idea yet at this point.
We don't know what that is, and that hasn't been set yet, actually. Supervisor Franco.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was looking at the numbers. If you look at the 4 years with it, if it did go to zero and you just looked at 2.5, 2.5, 2.5, and then factored in the 2 years prior, it still comes to about a 2.5% increase over 6 years, as opposed to the four, it would be 1.8 if you go to zero. But if you factor in the 2 years before, it's still a reasonably, I think, an appropriate increase on average over the 6 year period. So,
any other debate on the committee?
Just one thing to that point. Again, I'm more focused on these are elected positions, and I've heard that sometimes we go with comparables over that, but there's a choice here, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have to run. That's why I'm, you know, I would even be in favor of reducing it more, but at least we have this on the table. So I'm not focused on that. I'm focused on the fact that it's an elected position, and they have a choice whether they run or not. So that's my last 2 cents.
I totally understand that. I understand that. I was just looking at the numbers. That's
okay.
All. Comparing the numbers.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? All those in favor of the motion?
Before we vote, can we see this on paper before we vote for it? Can you put this and bring it back before we vote? Maybe hold the vote off so we can see what we're voting on before we.
Supervisor
is that possible?
Frederick. Patty. Supervisor Frederick, the numbers are here. So obviously these numbers are not going to change because no motion to change that. And this year one is here, year two, year three, and year four. So this disappears.
Okay.
This is the top.
Slide it down.
So then we got to get something to sign though tonight.
Well,
so.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Yes.
I can look at that.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Finance, resolution approving bonuses for employees who retired in 2021.
Presented by Chairman Rhodes regarding giving.
You mean Supervisor
Rhodes? Supervisor Rhodes, I'm sorry. Right.
I thought I was recording.
In the middle of the other conversation. So, the committee discussed the cost. If the 2021 retirees were to receive the bonuses at the level at which they were when they retired, and that cost was approximately $75,000. The committee then wanted us to go back and look at the 2020 retirees so that we would have an idea of how many people and where they would fall and what that cost would be. There was also some discussion about COVID didn't really start until March, so where would we be if those that retired prior to that point were not included, or where we would be if they were included. So for 2020, there were 29 retirees, nine of which retired before the declaration, the emergency declaration for COVID. The nine that retired prior, the cost to give them the bonuses at where they were would be about $20,000. And the remaining 20 that retired after that point, so they worked during that state of emergency at some point, that totals about $48,000 for a total of $68,000 for the 2020 retirees. So January through March of 2020 is $20,000. March through December is $48,000 for a total of $68,000. 2021 is $75,000. Depending on what the committee wants to do, it could be a cost of $75,000 for just the 21 retirees. Could be a cost of $123,000 for all those from the declared state of emergency through the end of 21, or about $140,000 total for both years combined.
That is what we asked for.
Yes.
Any questions or comments by the committee on that? Supervisor Rodriguez.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. I hope the committee takes no action on this or votes it down. You don't get a bonus after you leave. I think we're all grateful for the service that these men and women gave to the county and gave to the people who live here in Coach County. But when you retire, you retire. This is unheard of. I've never heard of this in the private sector, where after you retire, you know, if there's a profit sharing going on, you go back to your boss and say, well, I just missed the bonus. Well, you left. You don't get to go back. Uline, I think everybody who lives in Kenosha County knows about these amazing bonuses Uline gives every year to their employees. Those employees know that if they're going to leave, they better wait until they get that bonus, because if they leave before the bonus, they're not getting it. And it's just that it's not guaranteed pay. It's not like we owe these folks pay that they were supposed to get, that we somehow had a mix up on payroll. We've already established with the first round of bonuses that we, you know, some might say we missed the seasonal employees and they weren't happy, and now the retired folks aren't happy. Where does it end? I voted against the seasonal folks. If this comes to the county board, I'm gonna vote against this too. That is just so unheard of. You don't get money from your employer after you leave. Whether you retired, quit, you got fired, it just doesn't happen. And for those of you, if any of you vote this tonight, I would be curious to know what the rationale would be to your constituents why you're giving money to people who don't work in the county. And that's a lot of money. That's a substantial amount of money that we use for other programs, that this is ARPA funds that we could use to better folks who are still working for the county or better the folks who are living and use the services of the county that they do, so some of them so desperately need. But it's never going to use the folks who don't. I just think that's asinine.
Let the record show that I agree with Supervisor Rodriguez. Okay, any other questions or comments?
I got a comment.
Supervisor Frederick.
I agree with Supervisor Rodriguez. How about that?
There you go. Anybody else? John?
When we talked about seasonals, one of the major things that we came back to was bringing them back in. Lots of people come back. It still has an element of retention. As Supervisor Rodriguez pointed out, there's none of that with this. While thank yous are all well and good, he also made the comment this, I think we're going down this rabbit hole too far and it's getting a little absurd. So that's all.
I 100% agree. The only reason I supported bonuses to begin with, I supported it for two reasons. The first is because I was sold on attracting and retaining employees, and I also was sold on the fact that this was a bridge to gap the employees to the compensation study. That's why I supported it. And the only reason I let Supervisor Juhas convince me to support the seasonals without changing it that they have to come back was the fact that there was only one involved. So that's why I voted for that. While I do thank everybody who works for the county and appreciate the service of all our county employees, that's not what I signed up to give these bonuses for. That's my opinion. So I won't be supporting this. Supervisor Frederick.
I think that we did pretty good. Okay, we gave bonuses, went back and found about the seasonals, and we took care of them. And the seasonals got the $750 that you know that we thought they deserved. But I think this is a stretch too far. So that's why I mean, not to belabor the thing, but I think this is a stretch too far. I think we did pretty good.
Anybody else have any questions or comments on this? Is there a motion on the floor?
You want a motion not to do it?
No. I want anybody to make a motion who wants to make a motion.
Okay.
Seeing no motions, this dies for no motions. Moving on. Corporation Counsel report on redistricting lawsuit. Just before this gets started, I asked for this to be on the agenda because I felt that, as Supervisor Rodriguez has pointed out a couple of times, it's important, and this is the Finance Committee, that we let our taxpayers know what we spend money on. So for this, I was not happy with the way my district was treated in the redistricting either. I had some key pieces taken out of my district, but I still didn't sue the county. So I want the taxpayers to know how much it cost us to defend ourselves.
Against ourselves.
Corporation Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Supervisors. I apologize, I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. The mask tonight is actually designed to keep all of you from getting sick. If you can't hear me, please let me know, I'll take it off. But I did think it was obviously important to be here, having been asked to present this. The final total for the representation, I'll just jump right to the end, was $32,643. That represented work done over 4 months, September through December 2021. To provide a little bit more background, as everyone here is aware, the board passed tentative maps on September 15th. It had been the opinion of the office that the maps were legal as proposed. The litigation was filed the following day, including four sitting supervisors as plaintiffs against the county. I believe that created a significant potential for conflict between clients, and I say that because my job as the Corporation Counsel is to represent the entity, the county. However, I had a situation now where individual officers of that entity were plaintiffs in a direct adversarial position to the county. I checked with the State Bar Wisconsin Ethics Council, who agreed with the office's judgment that that conflict likely existed, as the organization's interest was adverse to those of one or more of its constituents, the plaintiff supervisors. I then advised both the county board chair and the county executive as to my concerns regarding that conflict. They agreed it was appropriate to retain outside counsel, and so that's what I did. At that point, my responsibility to the organization, the county, was to retain the counsel best suited and capable of representing the county's interest, defending the maps approved by a majority of the county board. This is a highly specialized area of law. On a couple of occasions, comments were made on the board floor about the county retaining the most expensive or one of the most expensive law firms for this litigation. The obvious choice for defending the litigation was the Von Breesen firm out of Madison, out of Milwaukee, who we hired. That was for a couple of reasons. First of all, at the time, attorney Andy Phillips, who was the general counsel for the Wisconsin Counties Association, was with that firm. He's since moved on to start his own firm. But not only is he the general counsel for the Wisconsin Counties Association, he had been advising counties statewide on the redistricting process and clearly was best suited to defend the county moving forward on that litigation.
Any questions or comments by the committee? Supervisor Juhas, you have the floor.
Corporation Counsel, can you tell me who the four sitting supervisors were that were involved in this lawsuit?
The plaintiff supervisors were supervisors Decker, Nudo, Rodriguez, and Maurer.
Thank you.
Supervisor Frederick, you have the floor.
You mentioned that obviously we were suing we got sued by ourselves. From what I saw, the thing, it looked like the complete Republican Party was, officers were on that list, okay, because all those that sued us were from the Republican Party. I'm one of those that went through this redistrict committee, getting on a committee like Supervisor Pomerville, saying we were doing our duty and getting called every name and threatened and everything else. But the real hypocrisy was when it finally got done and we were able to take that thing, and this is wrong, okay, because we were able to take that thing and take two supervisors that were together, separate them, get it to the board, the lines change, my lines change, everybody's lines change, and then to have us get sued by ourselves, and the other four were, this was the Republican Party that did it. I'm going to say this out loud, I don't care for you. The Republican Party sued the county board for the redistricting map that they didn't agree with. Does that sound familiar?
Well, just to clarify, the Republican Party was not a party of that lawsuit.
Well, the Republican Party, the people that were officers in the Republican Party were.
Well, that's not the point.
Well, look, I got a right to be a little bit angry from what we went through. It was disgusting. And then to finally resolve it and then get sued anyway because Supervisor Nudo didn't like his district or somebody didn't like his district.
Any other questions or comments from the board? There's no action needed on this. I just wanted a report for this, for the committee and the board and our constituents. So thank you. Moving on, audit of bills. This is the last resolution minus the sheriff's.
Right.
They moved that to zero, and we're signing it as everything else is remaining the same, and that's what passed. Okay, any other reports from the Department of Administration?
Yes, I have a general fund report.
Okay.
You'll find this report on your spots here. So this will be the second to last report. We'll get one more during the carryover and closeout resolution. So the first place I always point you to is the bottom two boxes. It shows the difference from last month's projection to this month. As you can see, there's a material jump from what we were projecting from last month to this month. We had three material things that came up in February that were to the positive of 1.86 million. One was, the first one was a $650,000 projection increase to the Human Services Department. Per the Human Services Department, this was comprised of some increased revenues in Children and Family Services, some reduction of projected expenses, and then some additional revenues from the Health Division. The second material thing that came up was we received our December allotment for sales tax at the end of February, and that amount that we received in December of this year was the highest amount that Kenosha County had ever received in a month. It was over $1.9 million.
Pretty steady, wasn't it? Been going up every month, right?
Out of the 12 months of 2021, nine of them were records for those months. And two of those months were the highest amounts for any month in Kenosha County history. Overall, sales tax was up 18% year over year over 2000, or $2.94 million more. Looking forward to 2022 at our projection, so our budget that we have in our 2022 budget for sales tax is actually less than what our final actual number will be for 2021. So in looking at the last 11 years, so from 2010 to 2021, our average over those years is a 6% increase. So if we take that 6% over what we collected in 2021, we're projecting that potentially we could have a $1.4 million surplus in sales tax for this year. Now, with everything going on, inflation, but I just wanted to make you aware of that number as well. The third positive development that came up was a Humana informed the county that in the calculation of stop loss, it was determined that there were miscalculations. So not to get too far into the weeds, so Kenosha County has something called stop loss insurance. That provides the county protection so that for any individual or dependent of an employee for the Kenosha County, the most exposure that the county can have for any individual is $150,000. Anything over and above that, this insurance covers. So as part of that, they take the amount of claims over the course of a year and add it to the amount of prescription costs. And if that amount exceeds $150,000, every dollar thereafter is covered by this insurance. So in 2019, we went away from Humana being our PBM, our pharmacy benefit manager. We went with a new company. Serview, thank you. At that time, it was the responsibility of Humana to make sure that they got the information feed from Serview to make sure that the stop loss calculation was being done. We received emails indicating that they had done this. And when they did their year-end calculations, they realized some numbers didn't reconcile, and when they went back and looked, they saw that we weren't getting credit for those prescription costs over and above the $150,000 in total. So because of that, for the years 2019 and 2020, the county did not receive $1,017,000 that it should have gotten. So at the end of, or I would say within the last week or two, we received $1,017,000 for prior years. So that will hit the bottom line for this year as a reduction of prior year expense. So that is why on this report it shows our health insurance deficit going from 1.2 million deficit to 300,000 deficit. Those are the three big things that hit. So to point out a few other things that changed from last month to this month, I touched on the top two items, the sales tax and the human services projection increase. We had a $100,000 projected increase in public works overall operating surplus. We've got got a $50,000 increase of the circuit court, county clerk, register of deeds revenue. Our liability insurance, we were projecting a $200,000 deficit. That flipped based on an actuarial calculation we got for our IBNR. So now we have actually projecting a $67,000 surplus there. On the bottom part of the report, as I stated, the health insurance had to do with the Humana stop loss recovery. The Sheriff's Department operating expenditures and deficit in their revenue worsened by $50,000. The county general fund interest revenue deficit increased by $50,000. So to go into a little more detail on this, so the county, by general accounting standards, has to record our investments at book value at the time, at the end of the year. We have unrealized gains, so we have investments that are multi-year investments, and because we have to mark to book value, if we were to sell these that are in between the sale dates, we would lose. So that's why it's showing as a negative. But when we sell those, we'll gain the percentage that we're expecting, the roughly 2-3% on those costs. Let's see what else that changed. Miscellaneous went up $50,000. And the workers' compensation, now this one flipped the other way. So we are projecting a $225,000 surplus based on the IBNR number we got. We actually, now we're projecting a $61,000 deficit. And I think that's the only material one. So at this point, we're projecting a almost $3 million surplus in our general fund, with that being based on the estimated general fund overall expenditures, putting us at a 33.66% figure at the end. I'll happy to take any other questions.
Supervisor Palmville.
Just a quick question. Where do you think the sales tax, why is that happening?
The sales tax, well, in prior years, we were able to dig into the sales tax and find out exactly what sectors. Patty can speak more to this, but it's not available. That information is not available for some reason.
Yeah, the state hasn't been publishing those sector information as readily as they used to, so we really can't dig into it. We, our own personal conversations, obviously during COVID, people were ordering things online. That continued. There was a lot of surplus money that came into the economy in 2020, but also in 2021. People went back to work in 2021, so disposable income went up. Also, we have a lot of economic development going on, and in some of those cases, the use tax paid on items that equip those places generate sales tax revenue, use tax revenue. So those are all different pieces that are probably playing into this. When we look at 2022, inflation is going to impact this. If people are spending their discretionary money on paying their bills, then obviously sales tax revenue will go down. But at the same time, what they are paying for items has gone up, and if there's a sales tax component, there's going to be more sales tax there. So on the economic development side, we still have quite a bit of economic development going on, so that component, we believe, will remain steady or flourish. The other side may go down. So I don't expect to see 2022 quite as robust as 2021, but I do think that we will still see a fair amount of sales tax revenue. We'll have to watch as, and again, as Barna pointed out, there's a 2-month lag. So we just now in February found out what our December collections were. So we won't really see this period of time for another couple months.
Supervisor Frederick, you have the floor.
The sales tax on mail order, when did that kick in?
In October of 2018.
So obviously that's part of it.
Yes.
Sure.
And a lot of the rebates and stuff, people spend more money.
Yes.
Thank you.
Anything else on the report?
If three.
Anything else from administration?
No. Mr. Chair, can we get a like, maybe a 5 minute recess?
Sure.
All right,
we can take a 5 minute recess.